Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello and welcome to Talking Transfers, a brand new show from the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey, and 90 Min's top cat, we're calling you that every week now, Toby Cudworth. Toby, how are you today? Graham, I'll come to you in a second.
Very good, thank you, mate. Very good. Top cat, literally, we're only calling me that for the purposes of this podcast. We said at the start that it's my new nickname, it's died. It's just for the purposes of my intro, but we'll stick with it. I quite like it.
We need to get the Top Cat theme and play that over the moment that we introduce you. Graham, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, you. As I just said to you guys, I've had a blisteringly hot day today in the Northeast, which is where I am. So, yeah, loving life. Sat in shorts, which is
17 degrees, which is fantastic. Great weather and a great show ahead for you today, I'm sure. This is a brand new weekly show where we'll dig into the latest on the futures of the biggest names in world football, be it players or managers. And today we'll be talking about Erling Haaland, Konrad Leimer, Nordi Mukiele, Paul Pogba, Yuri Tielemans, Sadio Mane, Calvin Ramsey, plus anybody that crops up in between. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast on all your major podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc., etc., and follow the gang on Twitter as well, @_ScottSaunders, @GrahamBailey, and @Toby_Cudworth to find us as well. Get in touch and let us know your thoughts if you're listening to the podcast. Let's dig into the big news of the week. Graham, Erling Haaland to Manchester City is basically done.
Yeah, there's been progress last few weeks as we've been reporting. We did say a few weeks ago, didn't we, Scott, online that Alvinga was taken care of. Negotiations now were taken over. We knew why in the background, but obviously we weren't going to publicise anything about Mino Raiola at the time. But it worked anyway because Alvinga's got a close relationship with City from his playing days. He knows what he's doing in the football world, so he was always going to take an interest. And interesting with this, it hasn't really been about the finances. It's been about the finer detail of the plans that Pep had for Erling. Erling was keen to know where he was going to, what sort of role he was going to play at City. You know, he's not demanding. He just wanted to hear what Pep's thoughts were. He wasn't going there saying this and that. I want to play up front, number nine, and you have to play off me. He was just getting to letting Pep know that he wanted to know his plans. I think Pep, from what I'm hearing, liked that. He liked to have this chat with the player, and that's won the day. And as it transpires, we said all along he wasn't going to get £500,000 a week, and that is the situation as well. It's going to be around Kevin De Bruyne's wage, but there's going to be plenty of add-ons and bonuses, goals, and the wage will be accumulative. It'll go up as well during the course of the contract. So at some point, he will get there. But yeah, I think it's an exceptional deal for City. You know, they're getting him at that price, 63. They're not breaking the wage structure, which I think was crucial. Let's not overlook that. Not breaking their wage structure to bring one of the world's top strikers in, I think is really important. And City have done a good job there. And this sort of deal, everyone said, oh, they spend all this money, they're not going to spend elsewhere. But if they do go and get Declan Rice, for instance, Declan Rice for 120, then getting Haaland and Rice for, say, 200 million is not a bad summer.
They don't need too much, do they? Toby, will Erling Haaland's signing finally be the signing to win them the Champions League?
There's nothing to suggest that he will be, because they just keep fluffing their lines, don't they, when it really gets to the nitty-gritty. one thing they haven't had throughout this entire time that Pep's been there, okay, they had Sergio Aguero, a fantastic goal scorer, brilliant in the Premier League, wasn't so good in the Champions League, and had a bit of trouble with injuries, as we know. City should win the Champions League for all intents and purposes if they get Haaland, because their squad is so bloody good. And if they did get Declan Rice as well, well, it's the best squad in Europe, isn't it? Let's put it that way. Whether or not it will get them over the line and get past that mental barrier, I don't know. It's kind of sticking to them now, isn't it? They're going to have to try and overcome that hurdle. From my point of view, the longer this goes on, the longer that they keep not winning the Champions League, the funnier it is. And I'm sure we all kind of feel that way, because Man City are Premier League robots, and winning the league kind of comes second nature to them now. I know Liverpool are really giving them a run for their money, but look like they're ultimately going to come up short. But the Champions League, they're not robots. They're in their own head when it gets beyond the quarterfinals. And that's when the media hype kind of sparks up a bit, and the questions are asked of Pep, and is Pep going to do a Pep and play Gabby Jesus at right wing back or something daft like that? So they should win it, in answer to your question, Florent, but whether or not they will, not convinced.
Graham, how long has it seemed like it's going to be City that Haaland will choose? Because obviously we've had Real Madrid in there, but we've established a long time out that Mbappe has been there first choice player. Obviously we've seen that Man United have been ruled out this week, but they've never really been in the race for months on end. That was never going to happen. Anybody else in this race, or was it always City's to win?
Yeah, I think there have been. No, I think Barcelona were taking it seriously for a long time, not so long ago. I think they were really enamoured by the prospect of pitting Haaland against Mbappe, which we still think Mbappe is heading for Madrid. And that was intriguing. Obviously, to do a deal of this sort, it was tough for Barcelona to do. And I think they've got other things that they need to do first. You know, they can't just keep throwing money at things. And I think to see Haaland as maybe the sort of deal they can do again in 4 years' time, it's a natural stepping point from City. After doing it in England, they'll probably end up in Spain anyway. So I think they'll see some of that as a future signing. Bayern Munich are the ones that I'm not surprised at, but I think Bayern have fluffed their lines here a little bit. I think there was a perfect storm for them to move Lewandowski on to Barcelona. And we know that Bayern have said all along that they've had an interest in Haaland. They've been trying to negotiate a fee, play it down. But, you know, I think this is one that's got away for Bayern particularly, because I think they could have took him. Yes, he would have probably only stayed at Munich for a couple of years, but I think there was an ideal chance there for them to replace Lewandowski. But yeah, in the last, 6 weeks, it's been increasingly looking like City.
Just a quick thought there. Robert Lewandowski, how will this impact his future now? Because obviously, I don't think there's too many players out there who are right in line to succeed him. Haaland is the obvious one that you'd think of. What will happen from your information? What's your understanding about his future as it stands?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, he obviously wanted a new deal. Bayern aren't keen to extend it massively. We know that Haaland is a bit unsettled, and he has been for a while, from those links to United. If it was, his people were clearly putting out there that he was available. And yeah, I say it's interesting. It's not like Bayern to get caught like this on the hop. And so I don't think he's going to be going anywhere for me in the next 12 months. But yeah, as you say, who is next in line? It's an interesting in one. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw them suddenly pop up in the Darwin Nunes hunt, for instance, or someone like that. It wouldn't surprise me if they suddenly popped up from nowhere in the race for one of these strikers, Lautaro Martinez, for instance. I think we should keep an eye on Bayern. I think they might be in the market for one of these good young strikers.
Just yes, indeed. On that, G, Hassan Salihamidžić said at the weekend, let yourself be surprised. We have to see what is possible and what is not. We have creative ideas. So that would suggest that Bayern are planning to get a little bit fancy in this transfer market, and there might be one or two signings or one or two departures that we probably deep down don't think will happen. Lewandowski, I suppose, could fit into that bracket.
And Serge Gnabry is out of contract soon as well.
If Karim Adeyemi goes to Dortmund and does the business in 2 years, there's probably a Lewandowski successor there. let Dortmund groom him, as we know they have done many a time. But yeah, there's obviously Serge Gnabry stuff as well. There's a lot of players out of contract, a lot of this buying squad is getting a little bit older. You know, Manuel Neuer signed a new deal, but they are doing deals as well. Buying, they are very close to confirming the signing of Ryan Gravenbach and Mazraoui, the right back from Ajax. So, two very good players there. So, Bayern are doing it. Yeah, they may be not willing to strike on, but that's a great deal they've got there from Ajax. It really is.
Yeah, on the topic of Bayern, it's a nice tie-in for the next story, which is the Manchester United section, which we'll always have to do because in utter disarray at the moment. 4-0 against Brighton at the weekend.
I'm glad you're saying Manchester United, though, now, Scott. You're going to have it saying United, but we know with Newcastle coming up on the rails, you are going to have to say Man United now in the future.
You're a Middlesbrough fan. Stop bigging up Newcastle.
I'm just stating the facts for you, Scott. You know, Newcastle United, they see themselves as United. So I'm just saying as it is.
Bayern Munich linked this week with Konrad Leimer from RB Leipzig. Out of contract in a year. He's another player who is, you know, going to be on the market potentially this summer and maybe next summer if he doesn't extend his deal. But the tie-in here, which you can catch on 90min.com, is a recommendation on Konrad Leimer from Ralf Rangnick to the Manchester United hierarchy. Now, Ralf Rangnick has also last week recommended publicly three players who have moved clubs or have agreed transfers in the last 6 months or so. Julian Alvarez, who will turn up at Man City, highly rated lad from South America, Dusan Vlahovic, who joined Juventus, obviously, and Luis Diaz at Liverpool. So United haven't signed, or Manchester United, sorry, Graham, haven't signed anybody that Ralf Rangnick has recommended yet. But this is a deal that looks pretty smart, isn't it? Is it too smart for United?
It might very well be, you know, but the fact is, you know, if Bayern Munich are chasing this lad, which they are, it's hard to go wrong sometimes with what they're looking at. And this is an Austrian midfielder, very much a box-to-box player, but he can do everything. He's really impressive, this lad, when you watch him. And I like him a lot. I've watched him closely in the two Rangers games. Yeah, I don't think they were his best performances of the season, but he stood out as the man ahead of Nkunku, actually. And yeah, from our information, that Ralf Rangnick has proposed Leimer, but this was a few months ago. And what we do know is United scouts were already on him, but they're taking a bit of a keener interest. And the fee as well, Scott, we're looking at under £30 million, which, again, in the English market, buys you very little. But it can get you some very... This is the sort of signing maybe that United have to make, where you do 20, 30 million. It's the sort of sign Liverpool make, isn't it? And then in 2 years' time, yeah, he's a world-class performer. These are the key signings that you have to make. Yeah, you will make the world-class signings. Liverpool will pay big fees as well, but these ones here, these are the sort of signs that you need to make that are going to become that world-class talent. Like Amani, like when Amani arrived at Anfield, he wasn't a world-class talent. He became one, same as Son at Tottenham. You have to turn these players and coach them, and you have to hope that Ten Hag, if you got hold of someone like Conrad Leimer, that he could produce or turn him into a world-class performer. I think the building blocks are there for him. I think he's a very good player, and it's a one to keep an eye on.
It's the stigma, isn't it, G, that Manchester United must sign players who are ready-made now and are already top level, and anything less than that isn't good enough. But as you say, the Liverpool model is signing players who are there or thereabouts and have still got time to grow, adapt, get better and become world beaters, and they've got plenty of those on their hands. Funny that Konrad Leimer, he must be like the 100th recommendation that Ralf Rangnick has made.
Well, another name that we report that is going around this week from RB Leipzig as well, that 90 Min initially reported on December 1st, was Nordi Mukiele, who is a right-back, centre-back kind of player who I think I do the United podcast called The Promised Land, and we've established that all of United's fullbacks are pretty awful. So they probably could do with some support there. But yeah, he's another player that Ralf Rangnick has recommended. How much United will take notice of that, it remains to be seen. But Toby, you mentioned there about the statement signings that United have made. That's the problem that they've made for themselves in the last 10 years. They've taken a Galactico approach that Real Madrid favoured in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And it's blown up in their face, and they're now having to tidy up the mess. But that was never really Man United, was it? Like when they were at the top, I know they signed players like Rio Ferdinand, but when Ruud van Nistelrooy joined United from PSV a year after a knee injury, he was banging goals in the Dutch league, but he wasn't the household name he came on to become.
They were at the top of the game for the best part of 25 years, and they always had a plan with who their next signings were going to be. Sir Alex Ferguson was like Jurgen Klopp in a way that he always had successes in mind, even when in the 90s, Andy Cole was scoring goals. He was looking beyond Andy Cole, and you would have thought it unfathomable at one point that he wouldn't be a regular starter for Manchester United, but he was phased out. And United gradually brought in players like Van Nistelrooy that you've alluded to. And they were very, very good players, but they made them top-level players and they blended them in with the world-class talent that they already had. Since they've declined and since Fergie's departure, it feels like it's been 8 years of pure panic. And Ralf Rangnick has come in November, December, whenever he was confirmed. He must have been looking around thinking, what the hell is going on at this football club? And we've not seen the scale of stories that we've seen over the past 6 months about a particular topic and a particular man making so many recommendations about things that need to be fixed. It's widespread, on the pitch, off the pitch, training, mental philosophy, the works, everything at United is broken. So it's interesting that Konrad Laimer could be one of the first pieces of the puzzle this summer under Ten Hag, but he at least is in the right mould of player from what I've seen of him, is that he is incredibly tenacious. I think he tops the Bundesliga in terms of, and I don't like getting into stats per 90 minutes.
Well, he's massively... like
high intensity. He plays the kind of football that Ralf Rangnick has wanted United to play, but the players have not been able to do it.
Could make that jump to Premier League football. Like we talk about all action kind of midfielder.
Reminds me a bit of Thomas Suchek, Toby. A bit more forward thinking than him, but very similar.
Disrupting opposing moves, defending intensity, this kind of thing. You know, ball retention and link. He can do link up play as well, and
like a Paul Ince almost got as well.
It's just the
good old fashioned Paul Ince Roy Keane. He's just a central midfielder who plays box to box. He's not an eight. He's not a six. All this newfangled stuff. He's just a good centre midfielder.
How Man United could do with someone like Roy Keane now? Christ, when he moved in 93, he was more of a
Declan Rice cough cough. Declan Rice cough cough.
We'll talk about Declan Rice a little bit. I mean, obviously, we're all kind of in agreement about how good a footballer he is, but we all know that West Ham are going to drive a hard bargain, mm-hmm. perhaps not as high as they're saying publicly, because to put Declan Rice on 150 million transfer to make him the second most expensive player of all time is a bit ridiculous. But, yeah. You know, 120, per our information, seems like West Ham would do business for. Konrad Laimer is literally, you'd probably say, about a sixth of the price, a fifth of the price. Which one would you pursue, Graham, if you were United?
Well, I've just watched the Robbo documentary on Amazon in the last few weeks.
Very good, actually.
Yeah, obviously a bit, but it was covered his time at Middlesbrough as well. But, you know, when remember watching that thing from Ron Atkinson in there saying it costs that, just pay it, just get him. You're getting the best midfielder for what he does in England. And United, yeah, ignore the fans here. The fans aren't in charge. Ignore the criticism. Just go and sign the best English midfielder available. It's Declan Rice. In 3 years' time, 120 million will look like a snip. If he progresses as we think, if Ten Hag is as good as they hope, then 120 million for Declan Rice will be a snip. So just go and pay it.
Unfortunately, the thing that United have done in the last 10 years is buy players for big money and decrease their value because of their on-the-pitch performance. And one player that fits into that mold is Paul Pogba, who is going to leave Manchester United on a free transfer, isn't he? It won't be Manchester City, but Juventus, Paris Saint-Germain look like the two front runners at the moment, Graham. Real Madrid, obviously, we've known he's been on their list before. Mm-hmm. What kind of time frame can we expect for Paul Pogba to make a decision? Is there any indication about which way he will turn?
It's a tough one because United don't really know here. They've been kept in the quiet, not deliberately. I think Pogba's just taking his time. The City links, as we reported it, they came through intermediaries. It came from City's end. They were just exploring the fact, you know, they thought one of the best free agents on the market if he did have an interest in staying in England, possible that he comes to City. I think it was put back to them that, you know, he's not really looking to stay in England. That's one of the issues, you know. He's become unsettled in Cheshire, where the burglary was, and unfortunately for City, it wouldn't be, it's the same area as where he would be living if he went to them.
I just also think, have angry Man United fans in the area.
Yeah, well. And that was the thing as well. It was said to me close to Pogba's camp. You know, he still loves United. He does love United. He totally respects what they've done in his career. He loves Sir Alex Ferguson. He loves the fans. No matter what the reaction has been to him in the last few months, he's not going to ever stop loving the club. And that's another reason why I don't think he would sign for another English team. I really don't. And yeah, he's got the offers on the table from PSG and Juventus. Very different from what I'm told. And they both offer unique opportunities for him. In terms of Paris, he's never played there, but he is a Paris, he's a Parisian, but he's never played there in his career. So it's not just a matter of, for him, unlike many moves to PSG, it's all about the money. But for him, it's about possibly going home, with something he's never done in his whole career. And then there's Juventus. He loves Turin. Allegri could play in that. I say unique for them because he can play in that holding position, which I think they'd have the eye on him for, to play that Pirlo role. And then there's Madrid, where he is on Madrid's list. He's just third or fourth on it. So it's not to say he won't go there, but I think it's either PSG or Juventus from where we're sitting at the moment. But the decision isn't made yet.
They don't jump out at you, though. As I could see the Zidane PSG appointment, if that does end up coming off, as you know, that would be the jump out. I think that would be the kind of carrot for Pogba to go there. Juventus, Toby, not at the level that they once were. I know they're going through a kind of rebuild, but like, they're not automatic pick for Serie A champions. They haven't won the Champions League since 1996. Are these options really, I know United are god awful at the moment, but are these options really that much better?
I think it depends on what's most important to Pogba at the moment. Does he want to go to an environment where he's going to play good football that suits his style of playing, gets the best out of him, and gives him an environment that he enjoys being in? As Graham alluded to there, he loved Turin and he was brilliant at Juventus. He's not tried out Paris in terms of playing back in France, but arguably it can't be any worse than what he's been dealing with in Manchester. Or does he want to win the Champions League? Does he have those kind of aspirations? We knew he did when he was younger, but he's approached, how old is Paul Pogba now? Is he 29. So he's not got that many years left, you wouldn't have thought, as an elite level midfielder. He'll still be,
unless he reinvents in that deep line role, which I think
Pep, but I can only see that happening in Serie A. You couldn't see him being allowed to do that in PSG, where the pressure is on to be the best all the time. It's win or bust. Whereas at Juve, I do feel like they recognise they're going through a bit of a transition. They got Allegri back. This season has been a bit of a disaster, but they're still fourth. And I think they are slowly on their way up, and they signed Vlahovic in January. He's going to be a superb striker for the next decade. And I think Pogba could be lured to go back to Juventus as kind of being the centrepiece in midfield. And to be honest, good luck to him if he does, because it's a tragedy that his career at United kind of leaves the impression that he's not lived up to his ability, whereas you've said it before, Scott, the club have let Paul Pogba down.
But it doesn't like that suggestion.
No, it doesn't fit the narrative. He could have done more. He could have done more, but there is more weight on the side of the failings of Manchester United as a whole than Paul Pogba as an individual.
Where do you sit on that, Graham?
Yeah, as you know, I think United have let him down massively. You know, Paul Pogba, as soon as Ole Gunnar was appointed, he flagged up the situation and he flagged up the issue that he's not good enough for Manchester United. He liked him as a person, but he flagged that up straight away. He wasn't good enough. And when you have a coach who's not good enough, then it's only going to go one way. And Paul Pogba hasn't gone United. He didn't re-sign for United, turning down other clubs just to pick up the paycheck. He went there same as Ronaldo. He came back for silverware, and United have massively let him down, the same as they've let Ronaldo down this season. It's a really interesting one. I think Pogba, you know, he gets a lot of stuff. Yeah, he hasn't lived up, as Toby said, he hasn't lived up to expectations. But, you know, if he picks the right club next, he will flourish again, and there's still a world-class player in there somewhere.
Just before we do move on, Graham, from your understanding, where's his biggest earning potential?
Yeah, it is PSG. They're willing to break the bank for him. It will be interesting, because if Zidane does end up there, you know, it's Zidane's job to turn down, as we understand it at the moment. He still hasn't put pen to paper as they would like to become their new manager. But it's a relationship that's always been on the cards, you know, since his Real days, Zidane has wanted to work with Pogba and vice versa. So I think, although that would be the biggest earning slot for him, I think Zidane and Pogba would be mouthwatering, really. I think that could be the thing that swings it, not the money. But if Zidane goes back to Paris, I think that might swing it.
Another club that can't win the Champions League, along with Manchester City, despite the amount of money that they spend. Let's move on to the next centre midfielder on the list today, Yuri Tielemans. It is our information that he does not want to renew his contract at Leicester, which I believe is up in 2023. Another player who's out of contract in a year's time. And Leicester have accepted, you can read this on nightmin.com, accepted essentially that he will be leaving the club this summer. Am I right, Graham? He will be sold, and we understand Arsenal to be in the mix as well as other clubs.
Yeah, it's an interesting. Yuri Tielemans, one of my favourite players in the Premier League, but just Leicester just hasn't worked, has it, this season? They've been beset with injuries. I think they were hoping that the re-signing of Fofana might persuade him to stay. They've got an interest in Charles de Catelet at Bruges. They're hoping maybe another fellow countryman might help Tielemans, but I think he's just accepting now. The time is now to move on. He's ready to leave. He's ready to stretch his wings again. It's a stranger because his stock isn't as high as it was, is it, 12 months ago when Leicester were flying. All of Leicester's stock has dropped.
The FA Cup final winning goal.
Yeah, he was fabulous, wasn't he? And you know, yeah, our information is Leicester willing to do business around 40 million. They did sign him for around 32, but they did pay a lot of money for him from Monaco. And so, yeah, there's a lot of teams who are looking. Arsenal are in the market, as United are, for a lot of these centre midfielders. There's so many available on the market. Ruben Neves, Calvin Phillips, now Tielemans, but there's lots of these players. Seems to be an awful lot of players out of contract in 2023. We thought this summer was
loads be a bit, this year, but yeah
I think next 2023 seems to be, as we're talking City, those three forwards as well. But yeah, I think it's an interesting one. I think from our understanding is that Arsenal are leading the chase in the Premier League and they can afford him. So there is interest from Juventus as well. Atletico Madrid have touched on it, but yeah, I think a trip to London does fascinate Tielemans, so it wouldn't surprise me if he comes to the door at the Emirates.
We're seeing a bit of a shift in how the transfer market works, aren't we?
I was just going to ask you this question, Toby. Go on.
It's not purely down to what happened last summer with Harry Kane. It's obviously an element of this has happened in the years previously. Players are not willing to commit to new contracts until they've got 18 months a year left because they want to keep their options open out of fear of being priced out of a move. We've seen it with so many players.
Poor Declan, eh? Poor Declan.
It's his gentleman's agreement as well, Toby. I think from the Daniel Levy thing we've seen, and we know Declan Rice isn't willing to accept the gentleman's agreement of David Sullivan either. We know it's only worth the paper it's written on at the moment.
Fair dues. Luckily for us, we've got a one-year extension, so we deserve that value.
What is that? Has he got 3 years left plus one or two plus one?
It's two plus one. So we'll activate that other year so that...
As you say, Scott, poor Declan. We need a free Declan. Hashtag free Declan Rice.
That's hammer of the year, Declan Rice, to you, as he got the main award last night. But yeah, the transfer market's changing, isn't it? The clubs don't have the power that they used to anymore. Players are willing to wait it out. And the sheer quality of players either out of contract this summer or next summer is mental. It's like 30 or 40.
And it's the expertise of the agents as well. So like rest in peace, Mino Raiola, and there's so many of them. These agents are doing such a good job now. A lot of them know they are cleverer than the football owners, and it's coming back to haunt the clubs now. They think, you know, and we can feel sorry for the clubs, but as I've always said, we only get these powerful agents. That came through the football clubs abusing players for so long, and they had to go these days. It's come full circle. Now that the agents and players are in a powerful position, but they're only in so when the clubs agree these deals, aren't they? You know, as the West Ham been sensible, they've tied him down. But yeah, it's come back around, and yeah, I think it's swinging a bit. I don't think it's swinging a bit towards the players, but they seem to be willing to sit on the contracts a bit longer now, don't they?
Well, of course, they're earning potential. They're locked in earnings at these clubs, unless they're just breaking through, are generally quite good, especially in the Premier League. But Premier League clubs have made these splashes over the years. 89 million to 90 odd million for Paul Pogba, etc., etc. If the free agency market in football is going to be, continue to become a more and more important thing to consider. It happens in other sports, doesn't it? But yeah, you
it's
know,
actually, if you look at the NFL, is actually taking a bit of a note from football's book. Yeah, players who couldn't be traded for and are now demanding at the same player power. But it's like we're talking 2023. It's impacting massively on this market. We've seen it with the City 3, Sterling, Mahrez, and Jesus. It's all based on what's going to happen next year. They have to do it this year. Same as and the two biggest, Salah and Mane.
Yeah,
the out of contract, and it comes up so quickly, doesn't it? Where their future this summer is all impacted on what's going to happen next summer because the clubs are frightened of losing them on a free.
Great tie in there because Mane is the next topic of conversation. We're going to finish the episode with some Liverpool chat. Sadio Mane, as you mentioned, Graham, is out of contract in 2023. Toby has been linked with Bayern this week, but I think, well, I would like Sadio Mane to sign for X. I'm sure that a lot of clubs would like to sign Sadio Mane.
Manchester United, Scott?
Yeah, well, he was linked with United before he moved to Liverpool, wasn't he? I think Louis van Gaal wanted him. Do we read too much into Bayern's interest in him, or is this just a kind of, oh, yeah, well, I'm sure everyone would love Sadio Mane.
Well, it's not. I also saw Barcelona links to Sadio Mane today. I think it was a report from Mundo Deportivo. Mane's still one of the top forwards in world football. His goal record this season is fantastic for Liverpool. They're flying. He's an integral part of that, alongside Salah. Makes sense that he would go to Bayern Munich, but I just don't, or in terms of his ability, that is. But the actual move itself, I can't see it. It doesn't strike me as a Bayern move, despite what I said earlier about Salah Hamidic. Suggesting there's going to be some surprise moves in the window. I think he stays and signs a new contract at Liverpool because why wouldn't he? It's just about bargaining power and trying to position himself as one of the better earners at the club. And as Graham's alluded to, agents just wanting to get the best for their client. Liverpool's wage structure probably needs a little bit of tinkering because their highest earner comparatively is not that large, is it? I think it's Van Dijk on 220, which is going to go up a little bit.
Yeah, it's amazing to think they're in that position with that squad, the size of the squad, and somehow their highest earner is on 220. And that's a deal he signed last August. It's not a deal that he's been latched onto for 3 or 4 years. He signed that in August. And then that does put the pressure on the other players, you know, because Mane is a club-friendly player in that he's not going to demand huge amounts. But he knows he can't go too far over that. He can't demand £200,000 more than Van Dijk, who only signed his contract in August. I think Van Dijk has done Liverpool a huge, huge favour here.
Setting the benchmark.
Yeah, Thiago came in under that as well. He came in last night. And so I think that, yeah, somewhere between, I think Mane 250 to 300 is about right. And he'll get that. But it just, if Mane does sign that deal, we think end of the season, Liverpool said to him, end of the season, Mane is happy. He knows it's going to stay, and it is a no-brainer going to happen. It really puts Salah out on there by himself on an island. If he's out there by himself demanding these fees, and as we've said from our information, FSG have said to him, if you think you're worth £450,000 a week, go and get it from whoever you think.
You know what Liverpool have done really smartly as well? That they don't need to pay the top whack because what they can guarantee is success. Under Jurgen Klopp, they can guarantee they've got a manager who's going to make you better as a player. Mm-hmm. If you have all of these demands and you ask for £300,000 to £350,000 a week, you're not going to get it because Liverpool will go and sign your replacement and they will coach them and they will make them better than you. They've already got Luis Diaz in. He's going to be brilliant. He already is brilliant. They've got Diogo Jota. They're signing Fabio Carvalho from Fulham. This comes back to succession plans. And Mane is in a position that he can barter a little bit, but he can't force the issue too much because Liverpool ultimately hold the cards with Jurgen Klopp in charge. They'll just go and get somebody else and they will keep winning. And Mane will probably be pushed down an alley where he can't turn around if Bayern didn't move for him. I can't see Barcelona either. So ultimately, he will then perform a U-turn and he'll sign the deal. And that just shows how good Liverpool have been over the past few years with their dealings.
Graham, so we would summarise Liverpool as feeling relaxed about Sadio Mane. Salah,
Manor, yes, definitely so. They are relaxed, you know. They don't see these links as a major issue coming from Manny. I think it is his agent agitating a little bit, although they deny that. You know, I think basically his agents would have liked the deal to be done now, but they're just saying, listen, let's just wait at the end of the season, we'll get it done. Sellers are, yeah. And you know, I think we took a lot of criticism on that. I mean, we've been reporting this for a good over 6 months, deep into late last year, that this was an issue that Liverpool had coming up. And it was always the fans and people, oh, it'll get sorted out, et cetera, et cetera. This isn't looking like getting sorted anytime soon. And I'm not sure how toxic it's going to get, because Salah always had it in his mind that he wanted to play in Spain. He wanted to be the greatest African player of all time. And will he ever be regarded as the greatest African of all time not playing in Spain? And I'll tell you, a big impact on that is Egypt not getting to the World Cup, because that'll hamper it as well. So the only way he can improve from here on in is going to another country and doing it for me. He probably will be up next World Cup, but he won't be at his peak like he is now. And so, yeah, will this be another Real Madrid masterpiece next summer, or Bayern instead of Haaland to go and get Salah for free next summer? It's a real possibility, because I don't see Real and Barca paying the fee that Liverpool would likely want this summer. It's a tough situation for Liverpool, you know, because they're not going to pay him 450, but they won't want to lose money free. But if no one's willing to pay, it's going to be a tough one.
I think there is a slot on the right-hand side which may need addressing in Madrid over the next year or so. Obviously, Gareth Bale's out of contract. It seems that position, obviously, with Kylian Mbappe coming in, Karim Benzema in the form of his life, and Vinicius, maybe he'll switch over there. Mbappe sits on the... But that's not his natural position, is it?
They've got Rodrigo as well, don't forget, Florent.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Until 2 months ago, wasn't really doing much, but Real Madrid are really good at identifying these young Brazilian players who might not flourish for the first 18 months, but boy, did he make an impact in the championship.
Yeah. So. And young Endrick, who might be coming in there sooner rather than later, as a 16, 17-year-old, and then he can play on that side, apparently. I haven't seen too much of him.
Yes. As well, modern-day forwards play every position, and that's what we need to remind ourselves, that they're all playing across the front line. There's no...
You stole that from Ralph Rangnick, Toby.
Of course I did.
Well, I'm sure Kylian Mbappe playing on the right wouldn't detract too much from what he is.
Ralph Rangnick stole it from me on Football Manager. I've long
been. let's round off the show with more Liverpool chat. Graham, story from you on 90 Min. Calvin Ramsey to Liverpool is looking like a thing. Just tell us a little bit about Calvin Ramsey and how this could impact Nico Williams, who is on loan at Fulham.
Yeah, it's which came first here, because obviously Liverpool are going for Ramsey, but it's the situation with Nico Williams. You'll know more, probably see more of him than me, Scott, but from when I've seen him at Fulham in the last few weeks and speaking to Fulham fans, they love him as this right wing back, full of energy. He's, you know, he's the archetypal backup to Trent Alexander-Arnold, isn't he? But you get to a point with these brilliant youngsters at Liverpool where they are Premier League ready. Nico Williams knows he's ready for Premier League football. So there's a decision to be made here. Fulham are desperate to get him back. And I think it's a good chance. Nico Williams does not want to serve as backup, really. And you can understand this. I was at Newcastle Liverpool the other week, and you know, Jurgen Klopp said it's hard to keep these players happy. You know, he swapped out four or five players for that game and won, but he said he could have swapped out another four or five. You know, you've got players like Oxlade-Chamberlain, Minamino not even making the bench. Joe Gomez is only playing right back because of injury issues. And if he switched to centre-back for another team, Joe Gomez has got he'll be going to the World Cup. If he gets a move and plays centre-half, he's going to the World Cup with England. And it's really hard for Klopp to keep these players happy. And Williams is one of these instances where he's making it known, I think, that he does want to leave. Whether it's a permanent deal, not so sure. I think it might be a buyback where they let him go. You think he's top class, Scott, obviously. Being a Welshman, you think he is that good. You probably see more of him than me. But
he's not. Let's put it this way. He's not good enough to oust Trent from his position or Andy Robertson because he can play both sides. There's concerns about his defensive abilities, much like Trent, but he's more of a dribbler than I'd say Trent is. He's got a hell of a shot on him. He scored some crazy goals for Fulham this season. And he's really got he's really the modern day fullback or wingback, if I could sum him up. And he's good enough to play higher than the Championship, but he's going to be held back at Liverpool.
So and he's probably seen that. He's seen that glimmer of that rainbow at Fulham, hasn't he? Think that's the ideal destination for him, isn't it? And so I think we will end up there. And Ramsey is the next Scottish fullback off the block. Scottish fullbacks are flavour of the month in a minute. We think England are good at it, but so are Scotland. You know, you've got Robertson, Tierney, Aaron Hickey. You've got Nathan Patterson, etc. And now Calvin Ramsey, who's a very good player, very similar to Patterson for me. Patterson, who went to Everton, hasn't really been given a chance there. But Ramsey's very good on the ball, not dissimilar to Williams. I think he's a better defender than Williams is, from what you're saying, Scott. He's a good backup. And this is his first full season at Aberdeen, but $6 million. I say it goes back to recruitment, doesn't it? They're making this move. From my understanding, Leeds, West Ham, Burnley, Palace have all looked at this guy, liked him a lot, but Liverpool have come in and are going to push through with it. And yeah, the chances are Ramsey will come in. And it's not definite that if he comes in, Williams moves, but I think something will happen with Williams, whether it's another loan or permanent. Yeah, something will happen with him off the back of this.
Yes, indeed. To wrap up the show today, just a reminder that you can catch most of what we've discussed on nightymin.com. You should visit the website and read the articles, follow all of us on Twitter @_ScottSaunders, @_Graham, @GrahamBailey. Sorry, I got your at there wrong, Graham. And @Toby_Cudworth, not Topcat, just Toby_Cudworth for Toby's Twitter as well. These stories will be summarized and talked about at length on the website. So please make sure you go and visit there. And we will be back soon for more Talking Transfers. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to subscribe on all of your major podcast platforms, and we'll see you soon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.